This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Bob, I'm looking at the Joey Bag of Donuts media bracket. I've eliminated Jerry DePaula. I'm a 5 seed. And now I'm locked in an absolute battle with Missy Matthews. 281 votes in. She comes in at 53.7%. I'm at 46.3. I'm in trouble in round two, as I thought I would be. I thought I would be in trouble.
Well, Missy is great, as you know.
And I am.
And,
I know.
And so are you. And so you're this will go back and forth probably until the very end, but it'll be close.
Yeah.
And that's a tough one. Anytime you have two popular people going up against one another, this is what happens.
Everybody likes her. 40% of the people hate me. Did Jay Caulfield? Here we go. Jay Caulfield survived round one. He's locked in a battle with Crowley.
He pulled off a stunning upset. Jay, a 16 seed. He pulled the UMBC.
This is unbelievable, Bob.
He should not be a 16 seed. Jay has been around doing this for. He should not be a 16 seed. That was misseeding.
Jay Caulfield on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jay, a 16 seed, you upset Colby Armstrong, and I'm now going to vote for you over Crowley. However, you're down. You're down by about 17 points to Crowley. Do you feel like you can make a comeback?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm surprised I survived that first. I just heard about this morning, so and when I hear you talk about it, it's kind of entertaining. But no, I'm surprised I've survived that first round. So if I have any luck and have a chance to battle back, that'd be great. But it's the first I've heard of it really this morning.
Well, I'm soliciting votes for you here eliminated.
You're not a 16, Jay. You're one of the most respected people in the media. All the work you do with the Telestrator and analyzing the Penguins, which is a tough assignment these days, I know.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate that. But I think just being included is very nice. That's awesome. That's very nice to be a part of that.
I'll tell you who's making an unexpected run here, and he was underseeded, Jay, is Dan Potash as a 15 seed is about to go to the Elite Eight, or maybe the Sweet 16.
He shouldn't be a 15 seed either.
Who did he beat in the first round limits? Do we remember Potash? Now he's up against Mike Persuda in a clash of veterans here, but Potash is playing well. Wow. He's up 63-37. Bob is the heavy favorite for the whole tournament, and he's a three-time champion. Yeah.
Well, you should be that, Bob. Absolutely. It's well deserved.
Like you, Jay, I'm just glad to be I'm glad to be included. That's all I say.
It's Bob versus Doran right now, and Bob is absolutely crushing Doran in the votes.
Oh my God.
What happened to the first you told me? I don't even What's the first one? I didn't know.
Ashley Liotis.
Oh, so that was okay. I didn't know that it was only a day. I thought it was more than one day.
Two days.
Okay.
And now 2 days to vote in this on more important matters, Jay. The Penguins were actually playing pretty well for a while, and then it all went out the window last night. What did you make of that affair?
Yeah, that was a tough one. I just thought the first 10 minutes, I mean, the game was going on, and when you look at the goals against Jari, look, one off the skate, bad break. Two, lack of aggressiveness in front of their own net that didn't help them out, right? They get a free stick, a free body, and they bear it. The only one I thought he really, if you're a goaltender and you're reviewing it all today or looking at the tape in the film, you probably think the third one that he's got to come up with. But the other three, I mean, it's no help in front of him. There just wasn't. And I said, the other two, the one was a bad break off of a skate. So, and then the game, then there was just no, they were chasing it then, right? They're chasing, and it just wasn't. It was just one of those nights, Joe, that, you look at it, it's this time of the year, 10 games left, and you're playing Tampa, and it wasn't a good evening. But it got away from them with that four goals in under 4 minutes. And I can't fault Jari. I said the third one, I thought that's probably one he's himself saying, I needed to have that. And he'll probably say he needed to have the first one by Cirelli. But when you're not, you just got to be tougher. It's got to be tougher in front of the Penguins net. And last night, it was not.
No, totally agree there. And I think Ryan Graves had a bad game again. And he's on the one, there was a, he let a guy go all the way by him. I forget what it was. I don't know if it even resulted in a goal, but he slid to his right and just created this vacuous opening for this, whoever it was at the time. But yeah, I agree with your
point. It was great.
Brain point, right. You know that play I'm talking about, right? I mean, you just can't do that.
Yeah, I do. I will tell you, if you are, I believe this would be in any professional sport, so football, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever it is. If you come in and you're not mentally ready to play a game, and if you're just a little bit off, that's what happens. That kind of thing can happen. On top of Braden Point being a great player, but you don't usually see that. You don't see that in the NHL. And if you're off your game or thinking or, just not feeling right about your game, you're not mentally there, that's what happens. And that's what happened there. Braden Point turned him inside out, and that was looking. He did not score. Ned made a big save there. Braden Point did that one other time later in the game, even against Timmins. I'm telling you, if you're flat on a given night and the guy's on top of it feeling it, that's the kind of play that happens. And he just didn't finish. Braden Point could have had 5 goals himself last night.
Jay Caulfield on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, Jay, different topic here, but the one that everybody in hockey's talking about. Ovi needs 6 goals to break the record. He's got 11 games left. It seems like there's at least a decent chance this could come down to the finale in Pittsburgh. So let me ask you, if you were coaching the Penguins, would you just play this the way that you normally play it? Or, for example, if there's a chance, if you're down 2 or 3 at the end, would you not pull your goalie? Would you want to keep Ovi from doing this? Like, how would you play this? And what do you think of the idea that this could happen in Pittsburgh?
I think number one, it's one of the greatest stories. First of all, what Sidney Crosby's doing, we know that. A chance to, have another record, all that. I think what he's doing, what Ovechkin's doing, I think is phenomenal, really. So, and the game needs it. The game needs the story of Ovechkin and what that means, which nobody ever thought that could be taken. I think it's a great story. And if you're the chance that it happens in Pittsburgh, well, I think that's the entertainment factor that goes with it, and I think a lot of people would want to see it, or be a part of it, or say they were there to witness it. Even though it's a rival and it's Ovechkin, but he's meant a lot to this game. I mentioned Malkin, Crosby, Ovechkin. What they've done for the game in these years has been outstanding. So I think I'm going to go to the Mike Sullivan question. If you're a coach, Mike Sullivan's going to coach them the same way, to win the game. And you do not want to be the goaltender that lets it in. You don't want to be the team that lets it in, but you're not going to do anything against the norm not to let it. You know, maybe if you're down a couple, you're going to pull your goalie. Maybe that doesn't happen. I'm not even sure Ovechkin would want it to be an empty netter. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. Either way it comes, I think he would want that one to be something pretty special if it could be. But they all count. And Gretzky's had plenty of empty netters himself. So that part really doesn't matter. But I think as a player, you'd like it to be some phenomenal play, whether it be a one-timer, which he's done so many. I think Mike Sullivan's going to coach it. The team's going to play it the same way. Hard to play against. And those points might be really big for Washington, for the President's, you know, President's Trophy, all that could come into play. I think it's amazing that it seriously could come down to the Pittsburgh game, Penguin game.
And I agree with that, because I think, for the integrity of the game, and that's how I look at it, if you can deny them because they have something to gain and you're not just, laying down and whatever you're doing, I mean, you got to play. You owe it to your team. You owe it to the league, I think, to play it.
Yeah, I definitely believe that. Look what Brett Favre has to deal with about the sack that he took with Strahan, right?
Yeah,
I mean, nobody wants to. You don't want to. Yeah, right? I mean, you don't want to. It's a different topic, a different story, but you don't want to be part of it. Mike Sullivan's going to have his guy. The guys will go out and play the game the way he's expecting them to, and all that goes with that. I think Ovechkin, what he's doing, and the big goal he scored again last night, he just keeps producing. Just as we say, what Crosby does at the playing a game, professional sport, the way they've played it, and the hard minutes, guys, the hard battles that go with to be that successful, pretty special. And I think to break a goal scoring record, to me, it's a great story. And I believe the Washington Capitals have fed off of that all year long. They've been a better team because of it. He's been a better player because of it. And he's rising up at times in big time moments, and however he gets it, that's great for him.
Jay, we appreciate the time, my friend. Are you out on a golf course right now?
I am not today, Joe. I have to say one thing to you. I got to tell you this. My wife and I were traveling over to D.C. to watch my nephew play Georgetown in baseball, and we stop in Breezewood, and some guy runs up to me and goes, "You got to go golf with Joe and Bob. You got to do it.
I want
to see it done." This is at a rest area on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And then once he said that, multiple people are going, "You got to go golf." So we'll set it up, Jay.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, Joe's going to Florida for another weekend of golf coming up, and he's all beside himself because there's a chance of a thunderstorm.
Oh, my God. Wow. This is like his training camp, Bob, right? It's like Joe's training camp.
It is. He's getting ready.
I mean,
we want to hear good stories. All right.
Thank you, Jay. We'll be talking soon.
All right, guys.
Take it easy, man.
Good to see you. Bye-bye.
Stanley Cup champion Jay Caulfield. Yeah, the scores start to count, I guess, April 1st, right, Bob? On our little...
On the gin list?
The gin list, yeah.
Yep, they do.
All right. Then I still have a couple more days of spring training, although they count in Florida because... Well, the courses there are...
It's year-round.
Yeah, it's year-round.
You can do whatever you want.
This counts, Bob.
Right.
And this may be where I start my book with your friend, is it Alex in Florida?
Alex Uria, yep.
Yeah, I may start my book with...
He'll give you a nice time down there. Very good golfer. Very knowledgeable about golf and sports in general. So you'll have a good conversation with him.
It's going to be called Bad Rounds in Every State. I want to play 50 Bad Rounds in all 50 states.
You're going to be like... what's that guy's name who was the worst avid golfer? Angelo Spagnuolo. Do you remember him?
Yeah, I do.
You don't want to do that. No.
But I do want to play 50 rounds in 50 states. That's the idea for the book.
Or you should try to play the best 50 holes or whatever, 60, 100 holes.
Well, I can't get into these courses, Bob.
If you're doing
that's
a book,
problem.
They would let you.
I don't want to go to that trouble. Part of the fun is going to these public courses, but I do want to play with Alex at a very nice course. I'm excited for that. I just texted him.
You said hi. Let me know how it goes. I'm sure you will, especially if you do well. I look forward to those pictures.
Coming up next, let's get into a little more football talk. We just touched on these over-unders and how the quarterback changes may affect those, like the Giants at 3.5. What about Aaron Rodgers? How much would the Steelers over-under change, and how many wins would he add here? Because now the coast is clear for him. it would
maybe
appear.
Not. Ding, ding, ding. I would offer this up. Maybe.
Hold on. Can we tease to this?
Yes.
You have an alternative theory?
I just think there's a potential based on what I heard yesterday from the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jerry Dulac with an interesting but not surprising report. Tell us about it, Limits.
Yeah, so Jerry tweets, Russell Wilson wanted to remain with the Steelers right up till the end before he agreed to a deal with the Giants, per sources.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, Russell Wilson wanted to come back here, and the Steelers said they wanted him if Justin Fields moved on. Art Rooney plainly said it was the preference and the priority to have one of those two, and he had to know at the time that Aaron Rodgers could and would be available. I mean, that seemed very obvious. Something happened here. Gee, Bob, maybe it was the fact that the offensive coordinator didn't really care for Russell Wilson, at least as a player, it would appear, that they clashed, and that Russell Wilson perhaps leaked a story that embarrassed the organization, in which it was revealed by Jerry Dulac that he couldn't play the kind of football he wanted and couldn't change plays at the line. Otherwise, it was a marriage made in heaven, right?
Yeah, there were certainly stumbling blocks along the way, but I think he realized that at the end, he still wanted to somehow stay. And it says a lot that they did not, because they didn't have Justin Fields. If they have both, they made their choice. It was an offer to Fields. He chose not to take it. So he never got the offer that he thought he or the Steelers thought might be forthcoming to one of the two. The only one who got it was Fields. So we'll see how this goes. But in New York now, they have Tommy DeVito, Jameis Winston, and Russell Wilson. And they also have the third overall pick.
Can you say that again? Danny DeVito, Russell Wilson,
Tommy
and Jameis
DeVito.
Winston. I know. And Jameis Winston. And they also have the third overall pick.
Which this signing may indicate that they're not going to take a quarterback. They've decided they need other things. And a third, or unless they're, you know, playing a little bit of a game, not sure.
Wow. Are you surprised to hear that Russell preferred to come back here, even despite the obvious? Here's the thing. Here's the thing about toxic positivity, and I would call this optimistic delusion, is what Russell may suffer from. He doesn't think anything was wrong around here. He must think that everything was great with Arthur Smith. Like, those stories come out, and Russ is probably, first of all, he probably doesn't even know the stories came out unless his agent tells him. And secondly, he's probably like, I didn't have a problem with Russell Smith. I loved it. We had a great year together. Even the last five games were great. Even the playoff game was great. It's great. Everything's great. What did he say at the end of the season? Limits, do we have that clip after everything fell apart, Bob?
Yeah, it was very positive.
I think that it's an exciting time. I think obviously to be a Pittsburgh Steeler and the opportunity of what we can do.
No, it's not. It wasn't an exciting time. You were 10 minutes away from Kirk Herbstreit saying your team quit against the Ravens. You lost five in a row. You got historically embarrassed in a playoff game. Everything was not great, Russell. Sometimes things are bad. And that's okay. In fact, sometimes to make things better, you have to acknowledge that they're bad. What was he thinking, Bob?
I don't know, but he obviously rubbed them the wrong way. And so when you do stuff like that, and listen, there's nothing wrong with being critical of your own team and saying, well, this is what we need to do. We didn't do it. Disappointed. This is, instead of saying everything's all positive, it's not positive when you lose five in a row. There are problems. And quite frankly, a lot of this has to do with their defense also. We should not just eliminate them from the conversation here, because their defense did not do what they were supposed to do, given the fact that they classified it as an elite defense. They need to do a lot better than what they've done. So it was a whole bunch of stuff not going well at the right time.
And I'm sure he was sitting, how could he probably was thinking like yesterday, he was, or this morning, he's probably sitting around before he signed with the Giants, before it became abundant and obvious, abundantly clear, the Steelers don't want you. He was probably still holding out hope, like, man, I don't understand. What went wrong there?
Broncos country, let's ride.
Why don't they want me? Everything was so great there. So away he goes. That's it for the Russell Wilson era. How will you look back on that, Bob?
I thought it was interesting. Cabali had one word on it, and he called it scapegoat.
Scapegoat?
Yeah.
Saying that Wilson was a scapegoat?
Apparently so, yeah. Look that up for me, Austin, to make sure. I think
no, you're 100% right, because I saw it last night during my show, and I ripped Cabali for it.
Okay, so I'll bring up a couple of things. One was the game that he single-handedly lost in Baltimore, single-handedly lost a game that might have given them the division with a goal line fumble, which, again, you want to put your shoulder down and try and score. I love it, but you can't fumble. And then he gave up a pick six when it looked like they had control of the game on the worst pass of the year.
Worst pass of the year, right.
And by the way, he almost blew the home game against Baltimore with a ridiculous end zone interception. So that's two games against Baltimore. Then I would bring up to Cabali, which I guess we will at 12:30 today, the horrific end game sequence against the Bengals at home in the season finale, where it looked like a 17-year-old quarterback was on the field.
Yeah, that game, more than any of them, was...
Scapegoat?
Well, I mean, maybe he's doing it in reference to what I said earlier about the defense. The defense had a prominent role in this five-game losing streak. They couldn't stop anyone.
Just because there were many other factors in the Steelers losing doesn't mean that the guy who plays the most important position wasn't a significant one.
I'm not defending him. I'm just saying that was his word. You asked me for a word. I would say... I guess disappointing. You know, I expected more from him, especially being what he was. But I also knew he was getting up there in age. And, you know, looking back, Mike Tomlin made the switch, and maybe he shouldn't have made the switch. I know it's 2020 to look backwards here, but, you know, Justin Fields, you would have gotten a better read out of Justin Fields, and you also would have kept him engaged here to the point where he might have said, I'll be your starter moving forward.
I mean, I think right after the season, I characterized my thoughts on the Russell Wilson era. Let's ride my ass. I know it didn't sound right, Bob, but I was a Russell Wilson fan coming into all this.
I think we all understand, like, even the Trubisky train and then the Russell Wilson, let's ride.
Yeah.
It all sounded good on paper.
Right.
But you're also dealing with guys who have...
too.
Broncos country, let's ride.
But...
the Russell Wilson situation looked pretty good. I hear people saying that the Mason Rudolph three-game set was the best quarterbacking they've had since Ben. I disagree. I think it was Russell Wilson for a good five or six games there. Was pretty darn good, but it turned out he was like them. His best work was against bad teams, mostly, although he had a good game against the Commanders.
Well, that throw was the one. If you're going to look at one thing that he did, and that throw to Mike Williams at the end where he's being pressured, back foot throws it perfectly, that was the best throw of his era here.
Yeah, and then when the going got tough, he got going, as in leaving. You know, it just, he was like the team, and unfortunately, he's the most important player because he's the quarterback.
Right.
He proved to be unable to put a team on his back or make the biggest plays in the biggest games. And so he didn't work, doesn't work. And I fear that Aaron Rodgers will be the exact same. He'll look good at times. They might run off a streak of games against bad teams. He even won against bad teams with the Jets. But when it comes to winning time, it's just not going to happen. It didn't happen with Russell. It's not going to happen with Aaron. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's just, at this point, you're just, again, Band-Aid is the word that comes to mind for me with all these things. They're Band-Aids. They got to figure out a strategize. And again, I'm really looking forward to the draft coming here in Pittsburgh in 2026. I think that could be the day it happens.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's going to be phenomenal if it happens in front of a lot of Steeler fans. And they make the pick, and the pick turns out to be the right pick.
What if the Aaron Rodgers announcement is in front of a lot of Steeler fans at the Pat McAfee event? I am willing to call, if that happens, it will mark a low point of the Mike Tomlin era.
Yeah, I don't want to see that there. I just don't. That's, you know, and by then it won't, it's not much of a surprise anyway. Although I will say this, I listened to Kevin McConnell was on.
Yeah, you were going to say
this. And it just makes me wonder, and they had a discussion on ESPN about it. Do the Vikings really believe that J.J. McCarthy is their guy moving forward? And there was a discussion there because he said that basically there's no givens on anything, which sounds like a typical coach thing to say, except you just turned your back on Aaron Rodgers.
Diana Rossini says that's still a possibility.
Well, that's what
the
I'm suggesting. Maybe, yeah. Maybe he came here, heard what he had to hear, didn't like necessarily what he had to hear, and go back to them. I don't know how this works.
And adjust his demands with them. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be a lot of different things. Maybe that's why there's a delay again. Or limits. Maybe it's just he's someplace in a dark place.
Ages and ages hence, when you're sitting around with your wiffle ball friends, how do you think you'll look back on the Russell Wilson era?
It's four nights of complete darkness.
Not a lot of light. Dark. I'm going to say wishy-washy as my word, because when Wilson originally came here, I wanted them to trade for Fields.
Yeah.
So when they did trade for Fields, I was more excited for the idea and the prospect of Justin Fields than Russell Wilson. He proved me wrong when ultimately, you know, Tomlin, well, he was the guy, he was the head honcho.
The Lone Ranger,
there's the word, that made the ultimate decision, and it panned out at first. But then the Russell Wilson we saw in the final five games is more the Russell Wilson that I expected. So very wishy-washy season, won't think of it that fondly.
Yeah, me neither. And I was hoping to be right about that, because I will still defend them going out and moving on from Rudolph and Pickett and taking some bigger swings. But now it looks even worse because now Rudolph is back here. They moved on from him for one of these guys. Now they brought him back, and now they're bringing in a Russell clone, I think, in Rodgers. I really do, Bob. Meantime, who do we have at the top of the hour limits?
Destiny's Child's farewell single.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
he says goodbye.
Yeah, he's leaving.
That makes me sad.
Yeah, he's a very good writer.
So Destiny's Child with a pirate update as we head into spring training. And then Kabali. We're going to challenge him on this scapegoat line. Do people out there agree that Russell Wilson was a scapegoat? Apparently it wasn't. 412-928-9370 if you agree with Dr. Kabali. Meantime, Bob, some updates from the media bracket from Joey Bag of Donuts here on X. He runs this 64-team NCAA-style bracket. We're in the second round. You and I have advanced. Unfortunately, Limits was eliminated in the first round, but he got there. He was Mount St. Mary's. This was his first year in the tournament. You felt good about that, Limits, to at least be in a game?
I did. I was excited to be there. I was hoping last year I would potentially get in. I thought last year at that time, I was like, next year, I hope that I make the field, that I make the tournament, and then continued growth from there.
And you grew in the 2 days of the voting.
Now, unfortunately, some of his players are going to get poached from bigger programs, right? But I think he'll be back.
I almost took down Kabali, who one texter said, we should all know by now that Kabali is the greatest water carrier of all time, the Michael Jordan of water carriers for the Steelers.
That's a little harsh.
That's a very harsh text.
That's a harsh one. Well, let me update you on him and others from the four regions, Bob, as we look to get to the Sweet 16. I'm going to update you on some matchups here. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
In the Three Rivers bracket, we have Kabali leading Taylor Haas of DK, and he's up by 38 points. He's going to win. He's going to advance. Here's the interesting one to me. Bob Labriola, a 3 seed, is up 13 points on Donnie Football. Okay, it's now up to 15. And I think that Donnie is being hurt here. As much as I love Donnie's family name of Donnie Chedrick, that's what he's listed as. I don't think enough people know that that's Donnie Football when they're voting. There's almost 500 votes, and Donnie's down by 15. If he could petition Joey Bag of Donuts to change his name to Donnie Football, I think he survives Labriola, Bob. Do you agree with that?
I think anytime you go by one name, even though that's not his name, but it's his identity. Yeah, you run the risk of people not sure what, you know, who you are, just because you don't hear the name Chedrick so much.
I think or include both Donnie quote football, Donnie football Chedrick. You got to have that in there, limits. I think, but I really do.
I don't know that that's his doing.
I think it's Joey Bag of Donuts. I think you have to drop him a line saying, "Could you refer to me as Donnie Football? It gives me my best chance to win." Labriola from the Dean Smith era with a 15-point lead, he may go to the four corners, Bob.
Four corners. And Bob's very good. Historian over there writes good stuff about the history of the Steelers.
I knew that he was dangerous, sort of underrated dangerous. All right, let's take a look at some other brackets here. Let's go to the PPG Paints region. Jenna Harner quietly making a run, although Rob King is up by a point on her. She's played well. Muller getting blown out by Mackey. He's down by 21 points to Jason Mackey. Is this the time for the 9-3 pointers?
You might have to do some more for Mulsey.
Let's hear Bob on Bob and I are Mulsey's cheering section. Bob, he's down 21 points right now.
Well, it's early in the proceedings. You know, this is the time for comebacks.
Yeah. 9-3 pointers would give him a lead.
It would cut into that lead.
I've done everything for Mulsey.
Stop.
And he's done nothing for me.
I do like that. Here's a surprise, Bob. A big surprise in the PPG Paints arena. Billy Hillgrove, the wily veteran who has played in all kinds of big games, is destroying Andrew Filippone. He's up 50 points. 50.
Wow.
What happened here?
It might be a little bit of a hate vote for Pony, but you're also going up against a potential Mount Rushmore candidate in Bill Hillgrove.
That's a tough matchup for Pony.
That is a tough matchup.
I didn't think 50 points, Bob. Did you?
No, I thought that'd be closer. I think a lot of these I thought would be closer, but it's early. It could change.
And then in a Penguin-themed match, oh, I don't know, 50 is a tough one to change. In a Penguin-themed matchup, the old 2-9er is also up 50 on Rob Rossi, who advanced to the second round. That's a mild surprise to me. You?
I think Bork is very well received, though. You know, he's one of those guys, he has a role on television and radio now.
Yeah.
You know, and nothing as Rob, it's just that he's not seen as much.
You, Bob, as we move to the PNC Park bracket, with 500 votes in, you're up 59 points on Doran Dickerson. You're playing your best basketball at the right time of the year.
I caught him at a bad time, apparently. You know, so, but he still has the cardiovascular wherewithal to come back.
Ray Fittipaldo and Mike DeFabo quietly on their way to advancing to the Sweet 16. And then we get to the Heinz Field region, where maybe the matchup of the entire round. Oh, my God. I just went on a huge run against Missy Matthews here, Bob. I was down 10. Now I'm up 9. What's happened here?
It's the power of the show.
It must be. I'm headed for a Crowley matchup. Crowley leading Jay Caulfield by 15.
You said that.
This is the one I wanted.
You wanted this one.
I've had this one circled, Bob. I want to go at Crowley. Pat Bostic having a very tough time with Greg Brown on the other side of the bracket. And very quietly, there's a 15 seed out there who I think could win the whole thing. That's Dan Potash. He's up 40 in his matchup right now. Bob, he's headed to the Sweet 16.
Well, he was misseeded.
Clearly, he was underseeded. He's headed to a Sweet 16 matchup with Greg Brown that I think you got to send. Who's the number one team over there? Limits at CBS.
Oh, Ian Eagle Bill Raftery. Grant Hill.
Grant Hill. They're headed for the Greg Brown-Dan Potash matchup, Bob. This is what we live for, right, in this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, it makes it interesting. I got to give Joey a lot of credit. He created this, fun opportunity to do it, and a lot of people will watch it and vote.
Did you think Crowley was going to be up this many on Caulfield with 800 votes in?
No.
I'm a little surprised. You, Limits?
Jay was actually leading that early this morning for a little bit before Crowley started to rally the vote after he tweeted it out.
Oh, so
little
that's
campaigning.
How that done. It's a little campaigning, I guess.
Man, I want a piece of Crowley in the next round. And I think I'm going to get it, Bob. And if I win that one, I'm in the Elite Eight. How about that? No, but what if you and I met in the final?
You'd win.
You're winning again, Bob. Everybody knows that. Win. It's almost academic at this point.
No, it's not. I mean,
you're like the John Wooden dynasty. Everything is just an exercise in futility, and you're going to win the thing.
Joe, you have charismatic qualities that you don't even realize. Not to mention, you're a savvy old news hound.
I do have that going for me, but you're a savvy old news hound as well.
Not really. Not as houndy as you are.
Are the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers an inevitable match?
I don't know.
Ray Fittipaldo writing about that. Mark Cabali saying that Russell Wilson is a scapegoat. We're going to talk to Cabali at 12:30. What were you going to say, Bob?
No, I just think that this delay could very well be that it's re-engaged in Minnesota for some reason. I wouldn't rule anything out dealing with Aaron Rodgers.
Me neither, including retirement or waiting for the best opportunity later, which is something you've been on the whole time.
Well, guys have done it, and he may not want to go through the rigors of all the training camp, preseason, all that, and just wait. And someone will be desperate enough to get him. All teams think about at that point is winning, and if they feel he could give them something, I'm sure they would do whatever it takes to get him.